What's up, guys? Welcome back to Storytime with Uncle John. My name's John. Duh. Anyway, for this episode, I chose to do malicious compliance. Sit back, relax, enjoy the stories, and if you got enough energy left, do me a favor, click that little like button down below, the thumbs up thing, and maybe leave a comment. All right, let's do it.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Treat your employees like garbage, enjoy an extra 100+ emails a day. I'm finally leaving my toxic job for a better opportunity. My narcissistic boss treats everyone under her like crap and is generally rude, condescending, and miserable to work for. We work in a field where we are constantly bombarded by salespeople, many of whom are extremely persistent and borderline rude. I sometimes get over 100 emails a day from such salespeople, not to mention phone calls, but I have specific rules set up in my Outlook so that they mostly go straight to my junk folder. My boss is not so good at Outlook or technology in general, so she doesn't know how to do this. She would often scream at me to find emails for her because somehow she couldn't even figure out how the search function worked. When I resigned, she told me to notify every representative I'm regularly in contact with that I'm leaving and that she is the new point of contact until they find a replacement for me. I spent the last week providing each and every salesperson with her email and direct dial. Good luck getting rid of those. Bear with me a little bit. I got a little bit of a frog. I've got allergies going on. The pollen's finally, you know, now that all this rain settled down, the pollen is finally starting to kick in and it's killing me. Anyway, I've worked for bosses like that before where they really had no idea what they were asking of me. 90% of the time when they would ask me dumb stuff like this, what they didn't realize, and I wasn't going to voluntarily tell them, was that they were setting themselves up for failure or just a really difficult time. Now, if a boss was a reasonable boss but just didn't understand what they were asking, I'm not going to be a total dick. I'll help them out and, you know, at least let them know. If they're being an a-hole like this lady, nah, she can fend for herself. You require me to take a lunch no matter what? Okay. So to give a little bit of background, I work as a CT or XR tech at an outpatient clinic. Oh, CAT scan or x-ray. Gotcha. It's within a building that also has an ER, which kind of works as a glorified urgent care center. We're responsible for imaging both outpatient and ER patients. This means we're open 24/7 and coverage for CT and x-ray are needed at all times. I work the day shift and have about 6 years experience. When I first started in this place about a year and a half ago, it was great. We had a full staff and everyone worked well together. Little by little, people started to move on to other endeavors and there weren't enough hires to keep up with the departures. This was made worse by our outpatient schedule being packed while also being expected to handle dozens of ER patients as well. There used to be 5 CT techs on rotation and overlapping shifts at any given time. Now we just have 1, me, Lamau. And the only x-ray techs left don't do CT scans. As you can imagine, it gets very busy and I really only eat small bites of whatever I brought for lunch in between patients. Sometimes I go my 8 to 10 hour shifts without eating until I get home for dinner. Management is obviously up in arms about this because they don't want to be audited and reprimanded for their employees not having a proper 30. But at the same time, they complain about the schedules being backed up as if they didn't set it up to fail to begin with. I was just told by our district manager that I am required to take a lunch no matter what and make sure it's recorded on my timesheet. Bet. I'm currently eating pizza while 4 patients wait for me. It's probably more right now as I sit here. There's a phone in the break room and they called me asking where I am and I said I'm on break. Obviously, management can't do anything. I'm only doing what you asked. Peace. Dirk Kestrel down below says, take your break times, leave on time, or ask for paid OT. Do this until they're forced to hire. As long as you spend your private life making up for their management mistakes, there will be no change. Amen. Listen, I'm one of those people that tends to go above and beyond for my job and my boss. Even if they're not nice to me, it makes the day go by faster, and I tend to like do a little more than is expected of me. Except when they start railroading me, which is exactly what this hospital or whatever was doing. Basically, they were expecting one person to take up for all the people that weren't working there any longer and still take their lunch time so they didn't get audited and yada, yada, yada. Basically expecting the impossible. So, you know, I mean, this isn't David Blaine working the x-ray and CT machines here. not-so-delicious malicious compliance. Growing up, my sister and I were good students and got straight A's most quarters. As some parents like to do, ours rewarded us for it by taking us out to dinner each report card, and they alternated who would choose the location between the two of us. Now, when we went out to dinner, there were some rules that didn't make sense as kids. Like, if we ordered a cup of soup, we had to get a salad or sandwich, so we couldn't have soup and chicken tenders, for instance. And if anyone, including our parents, got an appetizer, then we couldn't get dessert. There were a couple more nuanced things, but those were the big two. But they didn't apply if the meal came with any of those things. So every time it was my turn to pick, I would pick Golden Corral. And after quite a few times of suffering through the lackluster food, my mom finally demanded to know why I always wanted to go there. Well, because it's the only time I can get both soup and a dessert when we eat. We were allowed to order desserts after that. That's a smart kid right there. Always gotta be thinking. I can also see this from the parents' point of view. You know, things get expensive after a while, and maybe they just didn't have the money to do exactly that every single time. So, you know, go to Golden Corral and, you know, the food's really not that bad. I guess maybe it's location dependent, I don't know, but I've been to quite a few and I had no problems with them. In fact, most Golden Corrals have a prime rib table, so there's that.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Fine, I'll type it. This is an old one from back when I was in sixth grade and school computers were still in labs. There was a guy in my class I'll call Jason, who was that certain breed of show-off common to the early 90s, the one who totally knows kung fu but just can't show you right now, and who makes loud fart noises every time the teacher turns around and is more concerned with belting the alphabet than with learning to spell. Unfortunately, one of my friends was dating Jason, as much as a sixth grader can, so he always hung around. We got to the dreaded five-paragraph essay assignment, and Jason showed up with a crumpled notebook page. He was a terrible typist and always asked me, the nerd of our group, to type his work for him. I, being 12 and wanting to keep my friend happy, usually did it. For whatever reason, this essay was my last straw, so I typed it exactly as written, except instead of fixing his spelling as I went, I tried interpreting his terrible handwriting literally, and as wrongly as possible whenever there was ambiguity. It was an unreadable mess. That spelling is horrible. It hurt me to even read it that way. Basically, OP said it was an unreadable mess. My friend was mad at me, but he never asked again. He also had been held back two grades by the time we turned 18 and is now a tractor salesman, so I guess he never needed that five-paragraph essay anyway. Hey, nothing wrong with being a tractor salesman. Some of those guys make bank, especially if you work for a company like John Deere for sure. And maybe Kubota or one of those bigger companies, Bobcat Kubota, something. But John Deere for sure. And if sales are slow and you can't sell new mowers to the people who just built their McMansions or tractors to the local farmer, if you can get to the point where you can sell parts, yeah, that'll fill in the gaps nicely, trust me. Mowing with my uncle around. Here's a small one. For some backstory, I, 17 male, mow the yard every week. I get paid $25 to do it, and it generally isn't that big of a deal. My uncle's a D-bag, and I hate being near him. He will yell at me for the smallest things, and I get extreme anxiety around him. Well, today my uncle was over, and it's mowing day. I told my family that I wanted to wait until tomorrow to mow, and they said no. My family also wanted the grass cut lower than usual, which I started to do. Then my uncle came over and started yelling at me for cutting it too low, and he raised the cutter. He put it higher than the last time I mowed. Cue the malicious compliance. I started to mow the entire yard and weed eat and weed whack the entire yard. When I came back inside, I told my family about what my uncle said. I told them I was too afraid to say no to him because he would yell at me. I also told them that they would either have to deal with increased grass height or pay me extra to go over it again. They told me to go over it again and they'll give me extra, which I did. Thanks to them not listening, I got $45 instead of the usual $25. Okay, did I miss something in this story? Does this kid live there? He's 17 and he's getting paid to cut the grass where he lives? Listen, I don't mind helping my kids out with stuff, but there's a certain thing our kids need to learn around our house. You live here. You help maintain this place. I'm not asking you to pay for it, but you got to help do the work. Garbage needs to go out. Somebody gets that assignment. Grass needs cutting, although we don't have grass anymore. I can't get good grass to grow here, so screw it. We're mulching the whole yard. Awesome, huh? Anyway, you know, grass needs cut, weeds need pulling, chickens need fed, dogs need fed, cats need fed. You know, there's a lot of feeding going on around here, in case you couldn't tell. Anyway, they help with cooking, they help with cleanup, they help with, you know, general vacuuming and chores, because that's part of living here. Now, if I ask them to do something that's above and beyond normal household chores, then I'll kick them a little something. But, you know, just to me, I don't know, it seems to set a bad precedence when people are getting paid to do something that they should be doing to help the people who live there, help yourself included. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Let me know down below. I mean, I could be a little twisted. Who knows? Although I will say paying them for doing tasks around the household and the yard is a lot better than just handing them an allowance. So, you know, I'll do everything. You just sit there. I work part-time in a small convenience store, just me and the boss lady. I'm usually there so she can do paperwork in the back and order supplies. So while I'm on the cash register, I have to keep everything in front stocked, keep the returned drink bottles and cans neatly organized, etc. It's pretty steadily busy. Every now and then, she likes to freak out and start complaining about something. Yesterday, she came out to find me sitting at the cash register. I had just made sure everything was completely restocked, had been regularly running to the back and grabbing things and refilling, etc. But she chose to freak out and accuse me of not doing any work. And since I apparently didn't want to work, I should just sit there at the register and she would do everything. At first I thought she was joking, and I laughed as I got up to do something. But she got really mean and got in my face and said to just sit down and she would do everything. So I did. I started telling her everything that I was about to do and she actually started doing it. I was just sitting at the register and smiling, so she looked at me and said, "Oh, it must be nice to just sit at a register and not have to do anything." And I said, "You bet it is. Thanks so much." She just glared at me as she went back into her office. I can't stand when bosses do that. Now, it'd be one thing if she came out, saw you sitting and asked, "Hey, is everything stocked and picked up, you know, and all that?" And you tell her yes, or, you know, I got to this job, but not that job. And I'm just taking a break for 2 seconds, you know, getting my bearings and then I'm going right back into it. But to just assume things and, you know, start blah, 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 for no reason, then yeah, I don't know what she thought that was going to prove. I mean, you know, if she thought you were sitting around, why would she make you sit there? Why would she think that's a punishment? I don't know.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds Gummy Clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Tinder. You matched, chatted, vibe checked. Now it's time to meet IRL. So what's stopping you? Tinder is making dating safer and easier with their excellent safety features, like Share My Date, the best way to let your friends know your plans, while Moonlight allows you to discreetly call emergency services, and Are You Sure will prompt people to think twice before sending a potentially harmful message. Explore all of the possibilities for yourself. It starts with a swipe. Download Tinder today.
At the double. I have a feeling this means on the double. We'll see. Set up. My near-boomer dad came to stay for a couple weeks. In the first few days, he wanted some stuff printed off. Local map, opening times of attractions, blah blah blah. I printed his stuff. I printed his stuff single-sided with the aging and cantankerous printer, double-sided is an effort, and wastes almost as much paper as it saves. Here's the trigger. He never misses an opportunity to be bombastic and pompous. I get a lengthy lecture on wasting the world's resources, squandering my money, being disrespectful to the family values of frugality and care for the environment that he had so lovingly imprinted on me during a long childhood. In the future, he says, be sure to always print double-sided. Here's malicious compliance. He'd ordered some stuff online during his stay and a couple of things needed to be returned. Would I print the return label and packing slips? Sure thing, anything for him. I printed them double-sided. So one sheet of paper had the label that goes on the outside of the package and the return authorization slip that goes on the inside. Here's the fallout. What in the H am I supposed to do with this? He asked. I don't know, I said. Maybe cherish it as an example of our family values and saving the world by always printing double-sided? After sufficient time teasing him had passed, I showed him the printer has a copy function, but continued to lament the waste in using it to reprint one side. I get it. I mean, I'm not a boomer. I am one to try to, you know, not waste things as much as I possibly can without being ridiculous. And I, you know, there was a time when I liked to double print things, but honestly, the way paper is made anymore and the cost of it really isn't that bad. Most things are better off being printed single side. So, because receipts, return authorizations with the shipping label, yada yada. And oh, by the way, who's he to tell you how to do anything in your house? Don't touch anything electrical if you're not an electrician. Let me preface this by saying I'm not sure how malicious this is, but it sure was funny. Years back, I used to work on the melt deck at a foundry in the area. It was a union job, so everyone had their own roles to do. I was in melting, and one of our jobs was to melt the iron for another department to pour into the molds. Every so often, we would trip a breaker on one of the furnaces and had to call an electrician to come up to the melt deck to fix it. The panels for the furnaces opened up and the electricians would just flip a switch and it'd be fixed. The problem was, sometimes it would take 20 plus minutes for an electrician to show up and fix it. Waiting a few minutes wasn't much of a big deal, but when it would be over 30 minutes, it would start cutting into our pay since we got paid based on tonnage melted. And when we couldn't melt iron, there was no money. Eventually, our ATF, assistant to the foreman, got sick of it and would open the panel and flip the switch himself so we could keep going. The electrician found out what we were doing and had a meltdown, no pun intended, and told us we weren't allowed to do that and not to touch anything electrical if we weren't an electrician. Some words were had and we agreed, only for the electricians to go right back to taking forever responding to our calls. Everyone on the melt deck decided that anything electrical was out of our pay grade. We then proceeded to call the electricians up to the melt deck to plug in and unplug our phone charger, stating, "It's electrical, I can't touch it." Of course, we wouldn't tell them that over the radio, just that we needed an electrician on the melt deck for an electrical issue. They didn't find it as funny as we did, and eventually we all agreed to stop calling them for our phones, and the response time significantly improved. Look, I'm not knocking unions. They do have their place. Although I don't think they're quite as important as they used to be or once were, but, you know, they do serve a function. I will also say in the same breath that some unions are just a total waste of time. They eat up a ton of money and get nothing done, not even for the people they're supposedly trying to represent. With that being said, I've worked on quite a few union jobs as a carpenter, and a lot of the jobs where I worked, I was not union. I was from a private shop, and they were mixed jobs. Like in certain cities, not everything was 100% union. They only had to be like 80% union, 75% union, whatever. And then the rest could be from private shops. We were brought in to kind of like do the layouts and run certain aspects of the job. And then we had the union people come in and either labor or do the actual like framing and setting windows, whoever. And every trade was just so fanatical about, "You can't touch that. That's not your job." I get it. I understand to a certain extent. I also understand that some of that gets really ridiculous and petty after a while, but what are you going to do? Rules are rules. Technically, they're not wrong. So, when I was a kid, I let a baseball hit me in the face to prove a point. Ouch. I was playing catch with my dad and he kept telling me, "You don't need to move your glove. I'll put the ball in it." And he was getting increasingly annoyed with me. In hindsight, he probably meant I was just moving around too much. But nonetheless, I got tired of him telling me to stop moving my glove, so when he threw the ball to me, I held completely still and let the ball smash into my face, giving me a bloody nose and a nice bruise. Lol. He immediately asked, "Why didn't you try to catch it?" And while I was trying to pull myself together, I said, "You told me not to move my glove. You said you would throw the ball right to it." He was absolutely dumbfounded. Probably because he was coming to terms that his kid might be stupid. Lol. I've seen this happen before where kids will stand there and fidget and, you know, and then like they see a ball coming and they like put their arm way up in the air. Even if the ball's right here, they put their arm way up in the air and turn their head and, you know, wince. Like, dude, you gotta keep your eyes open. That's the first thing I teach them. Do you think you're less likely to get hit if you close your eyes really, really tight and just hope and wish for it to go into your glove? That's not exactly how any of this works. Now, I do tell them, look, I'm going to throw for this. Like, usually I pick a spot below the chin, above the belly button, this zone right here. I'm going to throw right for that area you catch. Or I'm going to throw right over your right shoulder, put your glove up, and I'm going to try to get it as close as possible. You still have to put your glove there to catch it, but, you know, I'm pretty sure I would never have let myself get hit in the face with a baseball just to prove a point. All right, guys, thanks for hanging out with me today. I hope you enjoyed the stories. And, you know, if you got a second, do me a favor and give us a thumbs up down below and leave a comment. I like the chit-chat and banter that goes back and forth, and I've got a little more time now to actually be able to respond to you guys. So anyway, till the next one, we'll see you.